Well, do you have that bright anticipation tonight? I want to be saved. I don't want to miss heaven. There isn't anything that is worth missing heaven for. Doesn't the Scripture say, what would a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you figured that answer out? Have you figured something out you're willing to give in exchange? I want to make heaven. I don't want to do anything that would put me in between the Lord and heaven. Well, I have a message tonight I'd like to share with you. I'd like to start in the 25th chapter of Matthew. This isn't the main text tonight, but I'd like to align our thoughts this evening with this passage. In the 25th chapter, in the first verse, it said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut, never to be opened again. Afterward there came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. It said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered. And it said, they all slept, unaware of the time of his return. I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. That was mentioned last night. We are all living life unaware of his return. And it could be tonight. It was mentioned last night. Well, if he hasn't come back yet, has he? And so we tend to think that he won't come back tonight. We tend to think that he won't come tomorrow. Is there anybody here that thinks the Lord will come back tomorrow? You can hope. I don't think that he will, just because I've never experienced him coming back. But you know, one of these days, when he comes back, people are going to feel just like they do tonight. He's going to come back. It said, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And this was a cry that could not be ignored. The cry to go out and meet the Lord is not a cry that you can ignore. And it's not a cry that you can put off. You cannot tell the Lord, I'll be there in a little bit. I've got to finish something up here. You're not going to be able to do that. When the Lord says it's time, that's it. Just whatever condition you're in, whatever activity you're doing, whatever secret thing you've been involved with, you will go meet the Lord then. And there won't be anything that you can do to change it. That sobers me. Doesn't that sober you? The finality of it. And it said, in this one place, in the 8th verse, it said, And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. All that previously seemed important was no longer important. There are so many things in life that we think are so important. We put so much importance on so many things in life. And too often, we delay and defer action in those areas that mean the most to us. But when the cry is made for us to go out and meet the Lord, all that previously seemed so important, it isn't going to be important anymore. The only thing that's going to be important is that we have oil in our lamps. The only thing that's going to be important is that when He calls our name, that we are ready to meet Him. Are you ready to meet Him tonight? I want to be ready to meet Him. My message tonight doesn't just... We could go through this whole 25th chapter, and that's not my burden tonight, but I want us to have our minds sobered and the sense of urgency that we ought to have as we look into this message tonight and think about the images that this conjures up. Well, in my mind, the hopelessness when the door was shut, never to be opened again, and they were without their oil, and they said, Lord, did you notice they didn't just say, Lord, open up unto us? They didn't just say, open up unto us. They said, Lord, Lord. There was a sense of urgency there. We want to have that sense of urgency of, Lord, Lord, now. Don't wait. Don't wait until the door is shut and you're on the hell side of the door. Don't wait until that time to have a sense of urgency to say, Lord, Lord. I want to have that sense of urgency now of Lord, Lord. I'd like to turn now to 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter and read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll pick up the 19th verse. It says, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This world has so many professed avenues of escape for almost everything that you can encounter in life. They market it that way anyway. There will be no escape. When the Lord comes back and calls your name, there will be no escape. You will face the Lord just like you are, with no opportunity to make any more changes. You'll face the Lord and be judged according to your works. That's what the Scripture tells us, isn't it? It says, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There's not enough soberness in the world today. Too much foolishness. Too much levity. Not enough consideration given to the serious matters of life and death and eternity. But the Scripture says, watch. Be sober. Because you see, we have eternity out in front of us. We're just living in a speck of time that does not even register on the scale of eternity. And yet we live as if this is what it's all about so often. I want to encourage you tonight, watch and be sober. And young people, as you make decisions in your life, that's mostly what we have here tonight, young people. As you make decisions in your life as to what road you're going to go down, be sober about it. Be thoughtful about it. Because I've never met anybody that went down a particular road and stayed on that road and didn't come to what was at the end of that road. See, that's just the way it works. If you stay on a road and you don't get off the road, you'll meet up with whatever's at the end of the road. Be careful. Be sober. Be watchful. My message tonight is the 19th verse. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. What Spirit is Paul talking about here? Quench not the Spirit. There are a lot of spirits in the world today. And many of those spirits ought to be quenched. See, there's a lot of spirits out there. And there are a lot of spirits that are causing us to live and be influenced in the way that we are. Spirits in the world influence us. And the spirits of the world are stronger than you are without the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you will be taken with the spirit of the world. That's just how it works. You don't get to take a middle ground and decide that, well, I'll go my own way. Your own way is according to the spirit of the world. So it is important to me to have the Spirit of the Lord working in my life. That's the spirit that this was talking about. He was not talking about all other kinds of spirits. When he said, quench not the Spirit, he was talking about the Spirit of the Lord. And so, I'd like to spend a couple of moments talking about why it's so important not to quench the Spirit of the Lord. In the beginning, you remember, the Lord came down and He had a relationship with Adam and Eve, didn't He? He had a personal relationship with them. And the Scripture tells us that He walked with them, didn't He? Communed with them. He had a meaningful relationship that I believe was precious to both parties. But we find that Adam and Eve went against the command of the Lord. And when they did that, sin entered in. And when sin came in, it brought a separation between God and man. Well, the Lord wasn't satisfied with that. He didn't like that. And so He had a plan. And eventually He brought the law and gave the law to Moses. And the law was brought to help bring us to the knowledge of sin. The Lord wanted us to understand what sin was, because it was sin that separated us from His Spirit. And so He brought the law so that we could come back and recognize the very thing that was separating us from Him. And as time went on, you remember when Solomon built the temple, which was a type and shadow of something more perfect to come. You remember what happened when Solomon finished the temple for the Lord? And he built an altar and put a sacrifice on it. And he prayed a dedicatory prayer to the Lord. You remember what happened when he got done praying? What happened? Fire. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And the Spirit of the Lord filled the temple. That's what happened. The Spirit of the Lord came down and it filled the temple. Time went on and all the way to the point where the Lord came, Jesus came. He brought His message to the world. He died on the cross. He was crucified and He said, "It is finished." And when He said, "It is finished," what happened in the temple? The veil in the temple that separated where the presence of the Lord was rent on its own accord. Well, not its own accord, but didn't have any intervention by man. And the Spirit of the Lord came out of the temple, a place where you and I would not be able to enter into. And the Spirit of the Lord went out into the world seeking souls that were willing to give their lives as the holy temple of God. The Lord wanted to reestablish His presence in our lives in a personal and meaningful way, didn't He? And then we find that on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus, after He ascended to heaven, He told them to wait until they would be endowed with the Holy Spirit. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of what? Remember? Fire. Cloven tongues of fire. There's that word fire again. And it was this Spirit that Jesus told His disciples, I need to go away. Because after I go away, then I can send that Spirit that I want to fill, put in your hearts. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your teacher. He'll be your guide. And He will give you the power that you need to live a holy life so that I can dwell in you. And we can have that relationship again that was lost in the garden. The Lord wants to have a personal relationship with you. And He made a way for that to happen through His Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Do you have fire in your heart and in your life? Is there anybody here that wants to miss heaven? I don't see any takers yet. The only way that we are going to be able to live life and make heaven is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that His Spirit is not quenched. There's a reason why it said, quench not the Spirit. The reason He said that is because the Spirit can be quenched, can't it? Thus, Paul exhorts simply, concisely, and powerfully. He just said, quench not the Spirit. I always remember for years, I suppose since I've been a young person, these verses in Thessalonians, because you look in your Bible and it's just like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, they're just short, concise direction that are powerful in their presentation. And this verse, 19, quench not the Spirit, is powerful. If we quench the Spirit, we will lose our power. We will miss heaven. We will be found without oil. I don't want to quench the Spirit. Now I'd like to talk about fire a little bit, because the Scriptures, the Spirit is referred to like unto fire. But now I need your help. What three things are necessary for fire? You remember the fire triangle?
Alright. So this is called a fire triangle. So oxygen. Fuel. What else?
Yeah, fuel, oxygen, what else do we need?
Heat.
You must have heat, oxygen, and fuel if you want a fire. You can put all the heat you want with all the oxygen you have. But if you don't have any fuel, you're not going to have any fire. You can take all the heat that you want. You can take all the fuel. You can take gasoline and heat. And you can put it all together. And I know about this. I know about taking methanol and reacting it with heat. Done it for a lot of years now. But you know what? We don't have a fire. We don't plan to have a fire. It's because we limit the oxygen. You take the oxygen away, you can pour as much fuel and as much heat as you want. And you won't have a fire. And I feel like that the enemy of our soul would like to come in and steal away any one of these items in our lives to steal the fire that we have, to quench the Spirit. The Spirit is referred to here as fire. And the enemy doesn't care about any of the other two as long as he can take one. And so the Scripture tells us, 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant. Watch, because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I don't want to be somebody that the enemy is able to come in and steal away any one of these in my life. So I'd like to take this a little bit further. If you'll allow me a little bit of liberty, this is the way I'm thinking about it tonight. To me, the fuel is like the Word and truth. Oxygen, time, and space. And heat, desire. I believe that for us to thrive spiritually, for us to have a fire in our lives, we must have a steady diet of the Word and truth in our lives. We must give the Lord some oxygen, some time, and some space. And we must have a desire to live for the Lord. If you don't have a desire to serve God, you can go through the motions and give Him all the time and space that you want. You can read the Word, but you're going to miss out on the fire. But you know what happens when you have lots of fuel and lots of oxygen and lots of heat? You get power, right? That's how a car works. And when we give ourselves to the Lord, and we're willing to feed on a steady diet of His Word and His truth, and we give Him time and we give Him space, and we cultivate a desire for the things above, you will have power in your life. If you don't do this, any one of these, you won't have power in your life. And I believe tonight that the enemy knows just which piece to take away from each individual. Some people have lots of time, but they shy away from the unadulterated, undiluted, uncompromised truth. They may give religious things time. They may have a desire for part of that in their life. God does not want us to just have religion tonight. God wants you to have fire in your life. He wants you to have power. God wants you to be able to live a life where you can have a testimony that He's working in my life and I'm seeing results and I'm able to live above sin. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't have the power that I want. I just feel like I don't have the victory in my life. Because you know what? Might be because there's one of these items that you're leaving out. This time and space, when I feel like that's one that the enemy is so... He's accelerating this problem in our world today. Time and space. How much time do you give to the Lord? How much space do you give to the Lord? We spend so much time on the things that appeal to our senses. The things that are pleasing to my eyes. All you have to do is go into homes or look around at the cell phones you're holding. People are on the online and they're at home and their computer's up. We got all kinds of time to do that. Lots of time to do that. And I just want to challenge you. I just want to ask the question. When you look at the amount of time that you spend on the temporal things of this world. I'm not just talking about sinful things. It can be sinful or non-sinful things. How much time do you spend on that compared to the time and space that you give the Lord? Would you be happy? Would you be happy with that evaluation on paper and hand it to the Lord? I'm challenged by it. I mean, I'll just be open. I'm challenged. We have a limited amount of time in life. We try to squeeze so much in anymore. Everybody's always busy. Steve and I were talking about that before. We're always busy. You have to make time. Or there are other things that will consume your time. And if you mismanage your time, you'll be found without power. You'll be found without the Spirit. You'll be found wanting when the Lord comes back and calls your name. How are you using your time? Are you given the Word and truth enough time? You give it enough time to understand it? Sometimes people say, well, I just don't see it that way. You probably don't. You're right. You probably don't see it that way. How much time have you given to understand it? People are so quick today. This concerns me today. Among our own group, people coming up, we probably in my age group, there were those that did it too, but I don't remember it like it is today. People are so bold and so ready, I'll just say it out loud, to say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. Well, you might not. But how much time have you given to see it that way? How much time and space have you given the Lord to come to an understanding of what so many that have gone before you that have found that's where the power is? They say, here's how to find power. You want to have victory in your life? Live like this. Give the Lord time and space. Read the Word of God. Apply yourself to holiness and righteousness. And so often I hear, well, I don't see it that way. As if that's it. No further discussion needed. Well, I just don't see it that way. I want to give the Lord time and space. I don't want to get to the end of the way and have the Lord say, well, this is truth and you don't measure up. And I say, well, Lord, I don't see it that way, though. I never saw it that way. And the Lord says, well, how much time did you give to make sure that you are making your calling and election sure? And then I wonder how many of us will be speechless. It seems like so often we try to cut the corner so close. Well, I don't see it written in the Bible just like that. I don't see it in black and white spelled out that way. I ought to be okay. Why don't you give it a little more space? I made a connection one time at an airport, and I looked at when my flight got in, and I looked at when the next flight was going to leave. And it was 30 minutes in Dallas. And I thought, I think I might be able to make it because I don't want to wait another 4.5 hours. And so I got off the plane, and I rushed as quick as I could. I was making it. The plane was going to leave, and I was going to make it. And I got there 9 minutes before the plane left. And as I walked up there, ready to get on the plane, the door was shut. What's the deal with that? I've got a ticket that says I can get on this plane that leaves at this time and I'm here. But there's a little sign up behind the desk that says, gate doors close 10 minutes prior to departure. I was there 9 minutes before. And you know what was trying to me? There's these big glass windows facing the plane. And I stood, body the whole from floor to ceiling. And I stood up against the glass. And the gate agent was like this, standing by the door of the plane for 9 minutes, watching his watch. While I was out there hoping he would see me, come and open the door and let me on. Somebody else was a little more energetic than I. He came up beside me and he was plastering his ticket against the glass and trying, but we were too late. We tried to cut it too close. We thought, well, I don't see anything wrong. It's 30 minutes, I'm here. But we didn't dig far enough to know that we needed to be there a little early. We need to have a little bit of space in there. We need to have a little bit of cushion to make sure that everybody got on the plane. That meant the plane was rolling out. It didn't mean that it was sitting there waiting for somebody to show up at 29 after when it left at 30 after. And how often do we do that in our spiritual lives? How often do we try to cut it so close? We try to give things just the minimum because we don't want to go the extra mile. You know, I was impressed one time. I read that verse where Jesus said that if thy enemy compel thee to go a mile, He said, go two. And I thought that'd be a good message, a two-mile Christian. I feel like we're one-mile Christians a lot of times. I'm speaking in general, Christianity. Profess Christianity, one-mile Christians. Lord, what is it you want me to do again? You said go how far? 1 mile? Do I have to go any more than that? Or can I go, okay, just 1 mile? Okay, I'll go 1 mile. The Lord said, if your enemy asks you to go a mile, go two. What about God? He's not our enemy. He's God. How much time and space are we given to the Lord? Are you a 2 mile Christian? Does the Lord say, this is what I want? We say, Lord, I'm in. I'm going all the way. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to give you space. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Lord, how do you want me to live? I'll live that way. Lord, what does separation from the world mean? I'm going to give it to you, Lord. I'm not going to try to see how close I can cut it. Where are you tonight? You trying to figure out how you can be a Christian and still do whatever it is that you want to do? That's why there's so many churches on every street corner, it seems. You can find a church that will justify about however, whatever you want to live in your life. You can find a church that professes Christianity and you can live however you want. That's why they're out there. I don't want to be that way. I don't want you to be that way. God doesn't want you to be that way. You'll lose your oil if you do. And you know what concerns me? It was virgins that were lost. These were good people. These were good people. I remember as a small boy sitting up here with Brother Austis preaching about this parable and him saying, five were wise, five were foolish, five of them were lost, five of them were saved. And he said, now if we go along with that analogy, half of us in here this morning will be lost. And I remember sitting up there looking around the crowd wondering who those five might be. That was a kind of a tough thing to think about. I hope it's not that way in the congregation here tonight. I want us all to be wise. And we can be. Are you giving the Lord time and space? Are you giving the Lord a willingness and an obedience? Lord, what is your word? What do you want from me? What does the Bible teach? Lord, I want to know what it says because that's what I want to follow. Paul said, what would you have me to do? That's how I want to live. How is your desire tonight? You know, some people say, well, how can I have a desire if I don't have a desire? How can I manufacture a desire? How about having a desire to desire? That's a good place to start. If you find that you don't have any heat in your life to live for the Lord, a desire, well then exercise yourself and start to generate an appetite for it. The Scripture says, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Because when you exercise, you begin to develop and nurture a hunger. How's your desire tonight? Do you have a desire for the things of the Lord? If you don't, I want to encourage you tonight, put forth much effort to exercise yourself in godly things so that you can develop an appetite for the things of the Lord. He'll respect it. And you know how you can develop a desire give him some time and give him some space and give him some fuel. Pretty soon what you find is that as your desire grows, you'll give him more time and you'll give him more space. And as you give him more time and more space and you have a desire, you're more open to the Word of the Lord and the truth, regardless of where it crosses you in your life. The light will start coming on. Oh, that's why. That's why they've taught this. That's what that means. Yes, Lord. And the more we do one, it begets the other one. And pretty soon, you have power in your life. I want to have power. Where are you tonight? Are you lacking in any of these? Have you been shortchanging the Lord on the time that you're giving Him? Lots of time on temporal things. Maybe just the minimum amount of time on things above so you can kind of check the list. I've had a little devotion. You know, that's good. But how much time are you giving Him? I'll tell you this, eternity is a long time. Are you open to the all of the truth? Or do you like to just focus on parts of the truth? I want to encourage you tonight, apply yourself to all of those. I want to be a wise virgin that has oil on hand. And when the Lord comes back and He calls my name, I want Him to find me with fire in my life. I want Him to find me with the kind of fire in my life that when others come and the spirits of the world try to throw water on what I have, that I've got a fire that's burning so hot that it just spits that water back out as steam, sends it on its way. I want to have something like that on hand. I want to be saved when the Lord comes back. I don't want to hear, "I never knew you." And I don't have to. That's the good news tonight. Every single one of us here tonight can give the Lord time and space. Every one of us can be willing and obedient to seek the truth. All of us can. And everyone here can begin to generate a desire for the things above. For no other reason, it's the right thing to do. Start there if you don't have it. Start with, it's the right thing to do. I don't feel like it, but it's the right thing to do. And like I said, when you start applying yourself, because it's the right thing to do and you give it time and you give it space, that desire will increase. I want to have power in my life. I want to be found acceptable, an acceptable dwelling place for the Lord. He said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." I don't want that to be said of me. I want Him to continue to deal with my heart. I want Him to draw me close to Himself. I want to have that communion with His Spirit in my life. A temple that's acceptable to Him to dwell in because I give Him time and space, because I give His Word full reign in my life, and because that's where my heart and my desire is. Be challenged with that tonight, and the Lord will be faithful to you. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.